Open your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be reading from verse 1 through verse 3. Hebrews chapter 12. Hear now God's holy, infallible, and inspired word. The writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and this sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, that you may not grow weary and lose heart." Bow with me in prayer. Father, as we look at this passage and we take out some of the ideas and thoughts here and try to explain them again, Lord, encourage our hearts. Lord, set before us the challenge that is found here. And help us, Lord, to take it up and to go with it and make it our lives. Be with the one who speaks, Lord, that he may speak your word truthfully and honestly. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. During the Civil War, a group of soldiers went to visit with President Lincoln. They wanted to plead for another soldier, William Scott. You see, what happened to William Scott was this. William Scott did his duty all day long, and then that night he had guard duty. The next day he did his duty all day long, and a friend came to him who was sick and says, "William, would you take my place in guard duty?" And he did. And the next day he worked all day long, and his commanding officer, unaware of the extra duty that he performed, gave him guard duty again. And he fell asleep. And the penalty for falling asleep was to face the firing squad. And so this group of soldiers went to Abraham Lincoln and talked to them and asked that they would pardon him. And the president did so after having talked to William Scott himself. And Lincoln said to him, "My boy, you're not going to be shot. But I want to know is, how are you going to pay me back? If from this day you will promise to do your whole duty as a soldier, then the debt will be paid." And indeed, William Scott did his duty as a soldier until the day he was killed in battle. Now, people of God, you and I have a greater pardon than William Scott ever got. We were rebels. We were the enemies of Jesus Christ. And he has come and given us a pardon. You and I have received a pardon that is beyond imagination. And so in this passage this evening, we are again picking up our theme of the cross. And we're seeing the challenge that is laid before us. William Scott was given a challenge. We have a challenge. And in these three verses, we're briefly going to look at two things. That the challenge of the cross is, first of all, to stay in the race. Second of all, to follow the course. We're to stay in the race. Writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore." And I always say, when you see a therefore, you have to say, why is the therefore therefore? And we'll get on to that in a moment. But he says, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses, a great cloud of witnesses, that think of a great cloud that just encompasses you, so thick that you can't see through it. You are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses that we can't see it. And what does the writer of Hebrews mean by witnesses? Are they people who are looking at you and I, seeing what we're doing? Ah, I see that saint down there. They're wobbly right now. You know, oh, that one, he just stepped off the edge of temptation. Oh, no. The word witness here is the word from which we get martyr. And it's the idea of someone who stands and gives their testimony. They stand and give the testimony of what they've been through. They're there to encourage us. Now, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, you have a portion of that great cloud of witnesses. In fact, I'll go ahead and read some of this. After going through some of the saints like Abraham and Sarah, the writer of Hebrews, and what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword from weakness, were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom this world is not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all of these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should be made perfect. Therefore, because of these people, they are witnesses to you that it's worth the cost that you might have to pay. It's worth the effort that you may have to give out. They did it for a promise that they saw in the future. We do it for a promise that we see in the past, as we have seen Christ risen from the dead. Your encouragement is to follow what these saints have done. God won't let you down. He didn't let these people down. He stood by them. He will stand by you. And so based on that, the writer of Hebrews gives us a call to commitment. He says, first of all, let us lay aside every encumbrance, every burden. Now, he's not talking about sin here yet. He's talking about those things that get in the way. Those things you really don't need. You know, during the pioneer days of America, when families traveled by covered wagon from St. Louis out west, you could, after a while, go on those trails, and along those trails, you would find discarded by the side pianos, chests of clothes, fine china, because those were the things the people didn't need, and they were weighing them down. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here. Get rid of those things you don't need that weigh you down and keep you from experiencing the fullness that you have in Christ. And this may be an old sermon illustration or thought, an old challenge, but let me ask you this. How's your prayer life? How's your devotional life? Do you read through the Bible once a year? Do you spend time in prayer every day? Do you set apart some time? Why not? What's got you so busy that you can't spend time with the Lord? How much TV do you watch? How much time do you spend in your favorite hobbies? What are you doing with your time? That's why Paul in Ephesians says, redeem the time, buy it back. Use your time wisely. Use your time. Lay aside those things that get in the way. Lay aside those things that are of no value to your spiritual life. I'm not to say you can't watch TV. I'm not to say you can't have a hobby. I'm not to say you can't do enjoyable things. But if those things take up more time than you spend with the Lord, reevaluate those things. Lay them aside. Then he gets down to the next part, and he says, and the sin which so easily entangles us. Oh, doesn't it ever? Doesn't sin entangle us? It wraps around your legs and trips you up. It wraps around your torso and squeezes the life out of you. Sin entangles. Sin, sometimes guile, bitterness, lust, pride. All these things that entangle us and get in the way. Animosity, short tempers. Get rid of those things. Put them aside. Trample on them. Cut off that vine that entangles you. Put it out of your life. Put it out of your life. And then as you hear this call to commitment to discard the hindrances and get rid of the sin, then run with perseverance. Even this evening, as I looked at and I says, well, I could do a whole sermon just on this. Let us run. Let us run. Let us run. Not lollygag, not stroll, not skip, but run. Run and run with what endurance? Ever watch marathon runners at the end of a race? Endurance. Endurance. The race that is set before you. Now, I'm fascinated by that. Because the word race here is agon. It's the word from which we get agony. Now put that in your mind. Run with endurance the agony that is set before you. Now, yeah. My wife likes to remind me when I grumble and complain. She says, Jim, why are you complaining? I says, because it's not fair. Well, life's not supposed to be fair. Life, you know, I tell kids in high school when they grumble and complain, I says, listen, life is hard, then you die. And they look at me with shock. And I says, now wait a minute. I want you to understand something. That doesn't mean you can't enjoy life. That doesn't mean you can't have good times. That doesn't mean you can't be happy. But life is tough. Life is tough. So we run with perseverance, with effort, with energy. That race marked out before you, that struggle that God has given to you. And when you do this, you have to follow the course. You just don't run haphazardly wherever you want to go. You have a goal. And what does the writer of Hebrews say the goal is? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. As a young boy, I once in a while would stumble into a Sunday school class at a little church that was a couple blocks away. And they had these little papers that they gave out with nice stories in them. And why I still remember this story, I don't know. But it was a story about a group of young men who, after freshly fallen snow, wanted to see who could walk the straightest line in the snow, who could make the straightest path from point A to point B. And when they got to the end and they turned around, everybody's path looked like this, except for one boy. His path was dead straight. And they said, how did you do that? It's very simple. I didn't look at where I was. I picked out my target and I aimed for that target and I walked to it. He fixed his eyes. He fixed his eyes. You are to fix your eyes on Jesus. Look away from everything else. Stare at and study. Learn of him. Spend time with him. Follow him. Why? Because he is the author and finisher of the faith. The author, he's the trailblazer. He's the one who went first. He is the chief leader. 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Here's how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as he walked. He's the pioneer that we follow. He's the pioneer that you shadow. He is the finisher of the faith. And the way of Jesus is this. He says, who for the joy before him endured the cross, despising the shame, remember in the garden, he prayed, if possible, let this cup be passed from me. He was in such emotional turmoil that the capillaries at the surface of his skin burst and he sweat drops of blood. He and he alone amongst all of humanity knew what was coming. Not only was he going to receive all the wrath, the infinite, eternal wrath of God laid upon him, but he was going to a shameful death, the death of a criminal, the death of slanderers, of murderers, of embezzlers. He was going there as us. And as I heard tonight in the prayer, he switched his record for our record. And we received from him what we did not deserve. And he received from us what he did not deserve. And he did it for the joy set before him. Because the joy was having a people of his own, a people that he redeemed, a people that would follow him, a people that would share his inheritance, a people that to whom he could give his Holy Spirit, a people who together they could look at God the Father and say, Abba, Father, the joy set before him. So consider him, think of him. Dwell on him. Follow him. People of God, you have a challenge. The cross presents a challenge to you. That challenge is to take up your cross and to follow Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening, hearing this challenge and asking and praying, Lord, that you would give us the strength and the desire to follow Jesus, to look at that cloud of witnesses, to be encouraged by them and say, if you were able to give them what they needed to go through that, you are able to give us what we need to go through the trials and tribulations and struggles of the faith. And as we do so, Lord, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes and focus on him, that he may be our all and in all. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.